Hi, I'm Barbara Rossing. I teach New Testament at the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, and I'm also a former Holden Village pastor. I love this place. I'm interested in how we observe the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. What needs reforming today? And how does this fit with the Holden theme of beginning together? What I especially work on is the theme of eco-reformation. That's reflecting the biggest change that has happened since Martin Luther and those 95 theses, the Industrial Revolution, the fact that the concentration of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere today because of the burning of fossil fuels is at least 40% more than it was during Luther's time. So how do we work on reformation of how we drive our energy system in this world, and where can we find hope in the Bible? I'm also part of what's called the Enhancing Life Project, an interdisciplinary cooperative of 35 scholars who work on issues of the future. My particular topic is what we call eschatology, which is visions of the future. And I'm working on images of hope. Last night in the forum, someone asked, where do you find hope? And that's such an important question. So what I want to do is look at two different biblical texts about how they can help us find hope. The first one is Genesis 1, the refrain, God saw that it was good after each day of creation. This is a refrain that is repeated six times in this beautiful liturgical poetry about how the world is created. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. Genesis 1 is not science. It's liturgical poetry, and it's beautiful. That refrain, God saw that it was good. The Hebrew conjunction, that, which is the Hebrew word ki, can also be translated as how. So you could translate it, God saw how good it was. And that's the translation of the Common English Bible. How good evokes God's delight in discovering the beauty of each element of the world. And in fact, beautiful is one way the other word, tov, the Hebrew word tov, could be translated. So we could say the refrain after each day of creation is God saw how beautiful it was. God looks at this earth and says, how beautiful. It's the same word, interestingly enough, as in the book of Exodus, when Moses' mother sees her child, her newborn child, Moses, sees how beautiful he is, or sees that he is good, and realizes she's got to save him. And I think that's God's relationship to us right now and to our earth. God sees how beautiful it is and wants to save us. We need to work on this issue of climate change and how to care for our world today. One of the best ways I know to get chills about how precious and beautiful this delicate planet Earth is to listen again to the astronauts' recordings from the Apollo 8 space shot in 1968, the first time humans ever experienced not seeing the Earth. The astronauts had gone around the backside of the moon, losing radio contact for 36 minutes. No one knew if they would ever come back. Astronaut Lovell's wife, Peggy, said they were told the chances of them returning were 50-50, and she thought that was pretty good. And then, as the space capsule came back around the moon, the astronauts saw the Earth again. They saw Earth rise, just as God sees the Earth. How beautiful. Says Frank Borman, it was the most awe-inspiring moment when we looked up there, and over the lunar horizon was the Earth. They grabbed a camera and took a photograph. That's the famous Earth rising picture. Says Frank Borman, we came all this way to study the moon, and it's as if we're discovering the Earth for the first time. God saw how beautiful it was. And then the astronauts read that text from Genesis 1 on Christmas Eve, 1968. God still sees our planet and sees how beautiful it is. Like Moses' mother, who saw how beautiful her child was and couldn't let him perish. So she hid him in a basket. This earth is our basket. And God is saving us. The earth is God's living child. So I think Genesis 1 can give us a lot of hope for how wonderful and precious and beautiful our world is. The other scripture text I use is at the other end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, this apocalyptic text. Some think it's about world destruction, but I think it's about the healing of the world. And the key verse there is chapter 22, where there's a tree of life on either side of a river of life that flows out from the throne of God. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the world. So what that means is that the apocalyptic book of Revelation doesn't picture Earth's destruction, but rather its healing. That image of the tree of life is one I've been working on for this Enhancing Life project. The tree of life is a common image in many world religions. The Bodhi tree at the axis of the world in Buddhist cosmology, the Iroquois tree whose roots hold together the whole world, the Jewish menorah, the wonderful Shaker tree of life as an image of American utopian spirituality. It's also a scientific image. Charles Darwin first sketched the model of evolution in terms of a branching tree of life, and his goal was to show relationship, to show how all organisms are related to one another. And I think that's the most important aspect of the image of the tree of life today. It shows us our relationships. The scientific model has changed many times. I mean, it's been a branching tree, but humans are no longer at the top as they were in Darwin's tree. And then for a while, it was a circular tree of life as genes were sequenced and we could see the relationships of all our genes across the circle. And now a new tree of life was just unfolded in 2015. There will probably be more. But the key is in all of these, we understand our relationships to one another and to all of life. And I think this is the most important eschatological image for our future, to see ourselves as part of God's great tree of life, to see ourselves in the branches with Christ as the tree, and to see the image of hope and healing for our world in terms of this wonderful tree whose leaves are for healing.